1400 years ago in human history, Muhammad, peace be upon him, appeared and declared his prophecy to people. To prove it, he said to them, "I am a messenger sent by Allah. If you need evidence, look at the miracles Allah shows through my hand. For me, Allah will change the laws that nobody can change and show you miracles so that you can understand that I am Allah's messenger." As soon as he said these, he started performing miracles, and a lot of people in his, peace be upon him, time became Muslim, choosing a difficult and troublesome life. One of these miracles is the knowledge of the unseen, the future. Just like the person we mentioned previously knew every single thing behind the curtains, the Prophet, peace be upon him, informed people many times about the unseen, the future, and he, peace be upon him, never hesitated or avoided doing that, and everything he said came true. He never doubted it. Although his whole cause would be in jeopardy if what he said didn't come true, without any hesitation, he spoke about the most difficult news of the unseen in the most difficult situations, and they came true every single time. We see the knowledge of the unseen multiple times in the Quran as well as in his life. Let's look at seven instances when he showed the knowledge of the unseen. In the beginning of Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 67, it states the following. O Messenger, announce that which has been revealed to you from your Lord, and if you do not, then you have not conveyed his message, and Allah will protect you from the people. Indeed, Allah does not guide the disbelieving people. In the verse, it is very clearly announced that the Messenger of God, peace be upon him, would be protected and couldn't be killed, and it happened exactly as it was stated. If we look at the time of his prophecy, he truly objected to the whole world. Throughout the 23 years he lived as a prophet, essentially he objected to the tribe that he was a part of. He declared that the thing they valued the most, their religion, was null and void. He objected to all of the tribes in the same way. When he immigrated to Medina, there was a community of people, most of which denied Islam. The Jews were even threatening to kill him. So he was face to face with an unprecedented risk, and had a high chance of being killed. What needed to be done was simple. One man was going to be killed and everything would be over. After these verses were revealed, the Messenger of God, peace be upon him, didn't want people around him to protect him. If he were a false prophet, apart from objecting to this many people, why would he come up with such a risky claim? There were attempts to murder him repeatedly, but no human being was able to kill him. Miraculously, he passed away in his bed when he was 63 years old. In short, there are two miracles in this instance. One, he couldn't be killed, even though the circumstances were very convenient and there were several murder attempts. Two, this was revealed in the verses and it came true miraculously, just as it was said. 2 Surah Al-Fath, verse 28 states the following. It is he who sent his messenger with guidance and the religion of truth to manifest it over all religion, and sufficient is Allah as witness. In the verse, it is revealed that the messenger of God, peace be upon him, and Islam will be above all other religions. When this verse was revealed, 1. Religions like Christianity and Zoroastrianism were the official religions of the empires of Rome and Persia. 2. These empires had existed for centuries, and they also had lots of experience. 3. These empires were made up of millions of people. 4. When this verse was revealed, the Prophet, peace be upon him, could not win over his small tribe completely. Despite all of these things, the verse was revealed, and not long after his death, only 20 years later, his community took over the Persian Empire, and the centuries-old Sassanid Empire fell. His community also gained very critical victories over the Roman Empire. Apart from the revelations of the verse coming true, there is a second miracle here. This person, peace be upon him, prevailed, yes, but the question is, with what did he succeed? With a nomad community which did not even have any techniques, experience, or a structured government. He formed a government with a community that was disobedient and also never had a government before, and with that government, he rose above all of these empires. So think about it. How can we compare this to today? For instance, let's imagine the Gypsy people. They have certain behaviors from birth, don't they? They have certain characteristics, like being stubborn, rebellious, or disobedient. Now, if a person came along and formed a government to organize them, and that government prevailed over many other governments, would anyone think that was possible? No. You see, nobody thought it was possible for those nomads either, and nobody could have ever done that. But then a man like the merciful Prophet, peace be upon him, appeared, who was also one of them. You know, he wasn't some stranger interfering. He was born and raised in that culture. In contrast to that, he brought them together and formed a government in a concise period and prevailed over the other governments. Nobody can think it's a coincidence or random, considering the extraordinary things that this person who claimed his prophecy did in such a short period of time. 3 in Surah Al-Masad, it states the following. May the hands of Abu Lahab be ruined, and ruined is he. His wealth will not avail him or that which he has gained. He will enter to burn in a fire of blazing flame, and his wife as well, the carrier of firewood. Around her neck is a rope of twisted fiber. In the Shura, it is clearly described that one of the archenemies of Islam, Abu Lahab and his wife Jamil, will go to hell because of the things they did. Also, it informed that they would die as infidels, and so they did. Abu Lahab continued to live for 7 more years after this verse was revealed. Imagine if he accepted Islam. Then the Quran would have been seen as misinforming, and everything would have been over. Even if Abu Lahab just wanted to end Islam, or on the contrary, he genuinely wanted to become a believer, he needed to become a believer in Islam either way. In spite of such dominant reasons, he didn't even pretend to be a believer. Let's forget about Abu Lahab for a second. If his wife Jamil had become a believer in Islam, the same thing would have happened. The Quran would be seen as misinforming, but the Quran told us that she would die as an infidel as well, and it came true exactly as predicted. Additionally, there is one other person who is mentioned as dying as an infidel, Walid ibn Amugira. He is mentioned in Shura al-Mudathathir between verses 11 and 26. It is written that he will be sent to hell. If Abu Lahab and his wife had become believers, Walid ibn Amugira didn't, then again, the same thing would have happened, and the whole cause of Islam would have ended. However, he didn't become a believer, and what the verse declared came true. Another strange thing is that there were lots of other people who were once among the archenemies of Islam, and later became believers of Islam, but none of the verses mentions them this way. None of them is said to be thrown in hell. That is to say, someone who knew the future was informing about the fate of these three people, and on at least 3 occasions. 4. In Shura al-Qamar verses 44 and 45, it states the following. Or do they say, we are an assembly supporting each other? Their assembly will be defeated, and they will turn their backs and retreat. These verses are stating that the Muslims will defeat the idolaters soon. But when we look at the time frame of the revelations of these verses, 1. The Prophet, peace be upon him, didn't even have an army. 2. The Muslims were a substantially smaller group. 3. Most of them were being oppressed by the idolaters all around. Nonetheless, these verses were revealed, and in the Battle of Badr, although the opponent was triple the size of the Muslims, and they were superior in terms of supplies such as weapons, the Muslims won, and the idolaters turned around and fled. The knowledge of the unseen that the verse informed about in this terrible and challenging situation came true. There are countless examples like these in the Quran. Then let's leave those to the scholars' detailed books, and look at the knowledge of the unseen in the Messenger's, peace be upon him, life outside of the Quran, which are given in his hadith. We see clear signs in the Quran that Allah gives some news from the future to his prophets. For example, Joseph, peace be upon him, was indungeoned and talked to the prisoners. This is what is narrated in verse as a part of that conversation. He said, you will not receive food that is provided to you, except that I will inform you of its interpretation before it comes to you. That is from what my Lord has taught me. We can conclude that from the other verses like these in the Quran, Allah is giving the news from the future that he wishes to the servant he wishes. Then 5. During a period of his life, the Messenger of God, peace be upon him, sent letters to the kings of different countries and invited them to join Islam. One of them was the king of Iran. When the letter was being read to him, King Khosrow II grabbed the letter from the messenger and tore it apart before even finishing it and dismissed the companion messenger. The companion went back to Medina and told the Messenger of God, peace be upon him, the situation, and the Messenger of God, peace be upon him, prayed like this, may Allah tear them into pieces and disperse them all. This prayer will result in a disaster later, but we'll discuss that later. After a while, the Messenger of God, peace be upon him, was ordered to surrender by Badan, the governor of Yemen. The Messenger of God, peace be upon him, informed the messengers coming for him that King Khosrow II was going to be murdered by his son, Qavid II, and he told them which night it would take place. When the man, who was supposed to surrender, gave such an answer and said it very seriously, the messengers felt the urge to report it to their governor immediately and left. They told Governor Badan the issue. When Governor Badan heard the news, he was surprised as well. From his perspective, there was a person who had claimed to be a prophet and said something similar, and considering the circumstances, they decided to wait for that specific day and night. Hasha, if that person were not a prophet, then what he said would not come true. But if it came true, the governor would not doubt his, peace be upon him, prophecy. So what happened next? On the exact day and night that the Messenger of God, peace be upon him, said, Qavid II killed his father Khosrow II and took over the throne of Iran. When Governor Badan heard the news, he was shocked and said, these are not a ruler's words. This person is a prophet, as he claims, and became Muslim. After him, the people of Sana'a became Muslim too. And if you haven't noticed, there is a second miracle here. After Khosrow II tore the letter apart, the Messenger of God, peace be upon him, prayed to Allah. What did he say? May Allah tear them into pieces and disperse them all. Accepting this prayer, Allah killed Khosrow II through the hands of his son, and only 20 years after the Prophet's death, deprived him of his possessions, his kingdom, through the hands of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. An Islamic state conquered that place, and Persian people fell under Islamic rule. The closest witness to these events was the governor named Badan. Because of these events, the governor changed his most valuable asset, his religion, and became a Muslim. Additionally, the messengers around him and many companions of Muhammad, peace be upon him, witnessed that situation. This event has been passed on to us through history. So surely, is it possible for this many people to unite over a lie? And if those people were the companions of Muhammad, peace be upon him, and if the person they were going to lie about was the Prophet, there was not even a small possibility that they would unite over a lie. Because anyone who has even a little bit of knowledge about the companions knows that they would sacrifice everything, even their lives, for our Prophet, peace be upon him, for Islam, and for the truth. If they were to lie about something, they wouldn't sacrifice this much in the first place. Since they were devoted on such a high level and sacrificed everything for his cause, surely none of them lied about him, peace be upon him. Assuming that one of them lied about the Messenger of God, peace be upon him, undoubtedly the other companions of Muhammad, peace be upon him, who witnessed it, wouldn't stay silent. They would object to it. On another note, one of the most famous hadiths is this one. The Prophet, peace be upon him, ordained as follows: "Do not tell a lie against me, for whoever tells a lie against me intentionally will surely enter the hellfire." Certainly, the companions who know this hadith would not even dare to lie about him. 6. The Messenger of God, peace be upon him, prepared and sent troops to Muta, which was a few weeks' distance away. And there, the famous Battle of Muta took place between the Romans and the Muslims. At the same time as the battle, the Messenger of God, peace be upon him, suddenly started telling the companion community around him what was going on in the battle. Zayd ibn Harithah took the flag and was martyred. Then Ja'far ibn Abi Talib took the flag and was martyred. And then Abdullah bin Warwaha took the flag and was martyred too. And then the sword of Allah took it, meaning Khalid bin al-Walid. He was giving details of the battle like that and announcing the victory of the Muslims, but he was in tears. Why? Because his beloved ones were martyred. After 2 to 3 weeks, Yala bin Umayyah went before the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, to tell him what had happened on the battlefield. Before he started talking, the Messenger of God, peace be upon him, told him the battle details. Yala bin Umayyah said, "I swear by God, you did not overlook even one word about the incidents." He, peace be upon him, described the battle details to the person who came there to do that. He proved more knowledge of the unseen, performing another miracle. 7. One of the prisoners at the end of the Battle of Badr was Al-Abbas ibn Abd al-Muttalib, and back then, he was not Muslim, and to be released, he either had to pay a certain amount of money, or he had to teach 10 Muslim children how to read and write. When he said he didn't have enough money, the Messenger of God, peace be upon him, replied, "What happened to the goods you left to Umm al-Fadl, his wife? What happened to the gold you buried before you came here? You said, 'Save these for my sons Fadl, Kutham, and Abdullah in case something happens to me. I am leaving you wealthy after me.'" Hearing this answer, Al-Abbas was shocked and said that was a secret between him and his wife. And then he understood that the Prophet of God, peace be upon him, was informed of the knowledge of the unseen. He didn't have any more doubts about his prophecy, and at that moment he testified and became Muslim. An enormous army witnessed that. When they asked Al-Abbas, "Why did you change your religion and become Muslim, even though you didn't have to?" He answered, "The Prophet of God, peace be upon him, performed a miracle before me. That is why I became Muslim." Think of it like this. When we tie a few threads together, they make a stronger rope, just like a ship's tackles. In their making, twines are tied together, making them unbreakable. Similarly, if we think of the 7 pieces of evidence that we have mentioned, and many more that we haven't even referred to, as a big piece of thread, and as we tie them all together, we get a rope that no force could break, which in this case is solid evidence that no reason could deny. For those who are eager to understand the whole issue genuinely, even just one of the pieces of evidence is enough. See you in the next video.
Hello, brothers and sisters, and thank you for watching the video. If you want to take a look at more of our videos like this, you can check the playlists we created specifically for you on the right, or you can check out our latest videos on the left. Don't forget to like this video and subscribe to our channel so that we can reach and benefit more people. See you.